Hello and welcome to the Southbound Sports Show. I'm your host, Richie Leahy, here with my co-host, Maddie B. And what a crazy weekend. College basketball tournaments we'll get into in a little bit. Let's start with football. The UFL kicked off. And I'll say that I was a little bit disappointed with the way it lined up. Because you had the four games that they had, two on Fox, two on ESPN, it lined up with an actual interesting Sweet 16 of college basketball. And you had the start of baseball, which, as everyone knows, Matt, this is Pittsburgh's time. You could get your undefeated March championship Pirates shirt from the market. Maybe you can get April championship coming up before things fall apart. I mean, it's not Bucktober anymore. It's Barch. Get right in there. When is the beginning of the year? So the UFL comes up against them. I barely got to really watch any of the games. I was kind of disappointed with a little bit of the broadcast type stuff that I had seen, because they talked about how they were going to be like innovative. I saw the commercial like 100 times. They had like The Rock's ex-wife. She's like talking about how they're going to be like a training league for the NFL. And it kind of just seemed more like the same amateur type stuff that we've seen, which isn't bad by any means. I'm not saying that, because I do like the Fox broadcast. And I'm curious to see how things take a turn, because the next 2 weeks, Fox is going to be broadcasting the Ohio State game this weekend and then the Michigan spring game next weekend, the first two spring football games on national television. I believe it's kind of a lead-in to the UFL games. And I wonder how the ratings are going to be affected by that, because typically when Harbaugh was there, Michigan didn't even have like a pure spring type game. They were doing like just practices for a while, and then they started to do a little bit of a game when the depth got there. With a new coach, I have no idea what's going to happen. And same with Ohio State. I don't really pay attention to their off-season championships that they're always bringing in. Them in Miami, you know, to off-season championship programs for the country. I just don't know what kind of presentation Fox is going to put together. But I think they're bringing in Gus and Joel Klatt to do the show, the spring game. And there's no way they know all the players on all the teams. So I'm looking forward to it, and I'm hoping that kind of builds up some of the UFL stuff. But I wish UFL would have started a month ago, if I'm being honest.
It's funny that you say that, because I remember right around the time that we were talking the Super Bowl, that was like the week after the Super Bowl would have been like the perfect time to start, or 2 weeks after. It was like there was such a lull between when the end of the season hit and now some of these other either off season or early season things from other sports, that you're going to lose a little bit of momentum, I think.
And that's where I'm almost wondering why they didn't line it up with the combine. Like I talked to a couple people that are in like the broadcasting, and they were saying that they thought that there'd be too much burnout right after the Super Bowl. That's kind of where the Pro Bowl felt like, that it was easier just to get it over with, because people were kind of burnt out. And I get that some Super Bowls are really boring, and then you're like, do I really want to watch another game? But like the last Super Bowl this year was a good game, and same with last year. So having two good Super Bowls, and I think you do want to keep watching football. But I honestly think that the combine was like, what, 2 or 3 weeks after the Super Bowl? Line it up with that. Because the other thing that they mentioned to me were they didn't really want it to be the weekend of the NBA All-Star game and like the NHL one or around the same time. Who cares? Like, who cares about that? That's one game and a bunch of weird skills competitions. I would much rather go up against that, if that's the weekend you pick, because that's when you're going to get casual fans that are like, I don't want to watch a skills competition. I can watch the highlights and have a better time. If I watch the highlights, I'm going to have a much better time than what I'm watching this in real time. And so to me, I think that would be around the perfect time. Take a week or two off the Super Bowl. That's fine. But at this point, you've waited too long. The combine's over. The NFL period is dead. I mean, at the latest, it should have been early March. But then you have March Madness. So they couldn't have started it last week. Or 2 weeks ago. So I guess then they picked this last weekend. But for me anyway, with NC State being in it, and then the hockey tournament, Michigan's in that. I'm like, I really don't have the, I guess, care to be watching another football season, like league that I don't really care about. If I didn't have a team in the tournament, then maybe I would have been open to it, to be watching a little bit more. But I was like vested in trying to see who NC State would end up with, and then what Michigan's matchup was going to be. And we'll get into that later in the show, but that's my take on it. They reported that everyone was kind of disappointed with the average, because like Fox is 1.3 and 1.1 for their two games. I think the XFL last year was over 1.5 million. So they're a decent bit under that. And then both ESPN games were under 1 million, which is expected because ESPN keeps bleeding subscribers. And then people aren't signing up. I don't understand how they think people are going to watch the games. I will give them a shout out, though, that ESPN did allow people with ESPN Plus to stream the NCAA hockey tournament. I was worried because they put it on ESPN2. And I thought, there's no way I'm going to be able to stream this through ESPN Plus. But I was wrong. So I could watch that, but I couldn't watch the women's basketball tournament for some reason. And I'll be honest, I'm not going to pay for ESPN cable to watch women's basketball. I feel like they were bragging about getting like a couple million viewers, 2 or 3 million. Like, that's nothing compared to like a regular college football game. So if you're not going to get me in for college football, you're not going to get me in for college basketball, whether it's women's or men's, to be honest. The March Madness men's are all, you can stream those basically for free online through like the March Madness website. I think they give you an hour trial, and then all you have to do is just open up a new private browsing window, and then you get another hour. So it takes like 2 seconds. But that's where I'm at. It's like, all right, can I watch your game? Yes, it's on Fox. Awesome. The UFL ones, the ESPN ones are the ones I didn't check in on. So I'm curious next weekend, am I going to be able to watch it on ESPN Plus without having ESPN? That'll be my rant that I bring in for next week. So did you watch any of the games, and what were your thoughts?
I watched a little bit of some of the games, but like I said on the pre-show, I was battling some illness. So I was kind of just, it was on in the background and just kind of nodded in and out of the game. So I really didn't go too heavy. I know with Wade Phillips and AJ Smith taking over San Antonio, that was one of the games I wanted to watch, and ended up missing that one. But I think the one thing that's going to start to play into these leagues is if they can ever get the consistency to really build that stable footing. I do think that the potential of having a successful spring league is there. And I think when you look at guys like AJ McCarron, who's quarterback in the Battlehawks right now, like, he was on an NFL roster, but then was able to have his contract restructured so that he could go back to St. Louis and play in the UFL. I think, like, if you have some guys like that that are willing to, they know they're not going to be the NFL door, like, star player, but they have a chance to be a starter in this spring league, I think it's a scenario where it helps them out.
And that's where I would like it to be, not so much a developmental, where I think in the past spring leagues were just grabbing guys that had played, and like I had said, even college guys, but they weren't really giving them a pure, like, they weren't grabbing big name guys and giving them a second shot. They were grabbing guys that were kind of like stable, maybe they could have a chance, but they weren't like major impact guys in college or major impact guys in the NFL. They're pretty much only grabbing guys that would have been good as like backups, when I thought they could have shot more for some star power. And maybe we'll see that. There's only, what, is it 8 teams again this year? And it looks like they're playing at their own home stadiums, which is nice. But that's the other thing that kind of bothers me. The teams are nowhere near me. Like, you have, what, three of these? San Antonio, Houston, and Arlington. 3 teams in Texas. Do we need 3 Texas teams? Why? Even in terms of rivalries, do 2. I said that before. Just do 2 in there. Do 2 in Florida. They don't even have one in Florida. They have the one in Birmingham, which I guess would be in that division, maybe. And then they have St. Louis and Michigan. And then, of course, nowhere near Michigan, D.C. and Memphis. So maybe Memphis and St. Louis, and then I guess Michigan and D.C. are supposed to be rivals. Why? I know they didn't want to lose the D.C. Defenders. That's like one of their most popular teams. But why have Michigan and then not have an Ohio team? Those states hate each other. You have the college biggest rivalry in sports. Why not try to get into that? Instead, you have 3 Texas teams. It makes the planning to me still kind of makes no sense. Like, I still don't know why they didn't have a California team or Las Vegas, right? They've had those in the past. They don't have Chicago. I get not having New York, but come on. And then not in Florida. Like, you either do the big states and the big cities, or do rivalries and do smaller things. Like, if you're going to have Birmingham, then why not have another SEC close by type team, like New Orleans or something, in Saint, like Louisiana? I don't get it. I just don't get the planning.
Like, man, I just think they looked at who are the teams from the XFL that had success, were the teams from the USFL that had success, and those were the ones that they cherry picked with, the ones that showed that they could field the most competitive teams. And I'm okay with that, because then you're not having these floundering organizations trying to figure out which way is up.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. It's a small league. Who cares about the power of the team? You're going to get into the SEC model here where, all right, we grabbed the 8 top teams. Guess what? In an 8-team league, they're not going to be the top anymore. Someone's going to have to be the loser. So if DC, they lost over the weekend, if they start the season off and they're like 0-4, are people going to show up at all? Probably not. That's the same with every other sport. It's like, I was looking at, they started that minor league soccer team up here. I think it might even be the Women's Professional League. And they were saying about having like a promo for tickets. Tickets were $45 a piece. I'm like, no wonder you're not selling that many tickets. Who the hell is paying $45 to go see a soccer league that's not even popular enough to be on TV? That's kind of where I feel like the UFL. It's like, you're putting in the teams in, the stadium's half empty. And you're not, I mean, I guess the TV contract is kind of good, most likely. But I think that's where the spring leagues die. They're not attracting fans. The TV audience falls off because there's no connection. You didn't go with the big city route to try to get TV viewers. You didn't go with like rivalries to make it interesting. Maybe the 3 teams in Texas, but they're even split up. It's even split up worse than I thought. So they just split it into the XFL conference and then the USFL conference. Why? Why do that? Who's that for? So DC's in with Arlington, St. Louis, and San Antonio. They're at a distinct disadvantage being the East Coast team. They're like, it'd be like if, you know, the Cowboys play in the NFC East because they want that advantage of being like the only West team coming East, like in the time zone or whatever. DC's going the opposite. They're at the disadvantage, losing an hour of sleep every time they go. Right? Isn't it like an hour earlier there? So they always say how it's harder for a team to go. I've read this a lot when they talked about the Big Ten expanding west, because now how's that going to hurt Michigan, Ohio State when they're going west? They always have like a worse record out there because they're losing like 3 hours of sleep to go play a game. And DC's like, yeah, that'll be us. No reason. Like, you could have the other conferences like Houston. Why not just flip Houston and have a west and an east? It would have been so easy. And they're like, nah, we'll try to keep it the same. So I'm going to keep an open mind. But I had higher hopes. I feel like I've fallen for the marketing on the league. And just seeing how poor the start of the season lined up for me just is kind of a disappointment. Now, maybe I'm wrong with basketball only having, what, a couple games this weekend. Maybe the ratings for the XFL will shoot up because the tournament's ending and then really nothing's on. Like, they couldn't have waited 2 more weeks. Or heck, even 1 more week. And the start of this, the Final Four weekend. Final Four, there's only like, what, 2 games? There's only 4 teams left. And usually at night, you could have the XFL leading into it, or the UFL. I'm probably going to call it the XFL the entire time. But that's my thoughts on it. You have anything else you want to add?
No. I mean, I'm glad to see that the league's back. And I feel like it just takes time because there were a lot of players were picked up by NFL rosters. And I just don't – trying to think of, like, how to keep some kind of consistency within those rosters slash there are so many players that I feel like declare for the draft and then don't get the value that they want, that I feel like that would be an avenue for them, that if you want to test the waters there – there is a way that if they did it, if it was matched up around the draft time, that those guys that don't get picked up would be a nice pickup to be able to be on a roster for that.
And that's where I'm going to probably be all over the place here this week because I have so many notes, just random spots. But I'm going to kind of tie this to the joke of the WNBA. Did you see how they offered, or the Big Three, I guess, Ice Cube's basketball league, offered Caitlin Clark like $5 million contract to come play for them?
Yeah.
And the WNBA fired back that they have salaries that are set by the league and they're $74,000 a year. And I thought, that's your rebuttal? They're offering $5 million. Why the hell would she take your offer? And WNBA put out a statement like, and the women can make up the difference in advertising. She's already doing NIL stuff at Iowa. So if you're a women's basketball player and you know you're not going to get picked by another league, why the hell would you go to the WNBA if you can get NIL for more money to stay in college? Because I know some donors are throwing money at those girls for some of the big time players, right? Some school that doesn't have a good football team like UConn that's focused on getting their women's program up. What else are their big time donors spending money on, Matt? If you're seeing the WNBA saying, hey, we're offering $74,000, you could get 5 starters for $500,000 and then probably win the national championship in women's basketball.
But I feel like that's probably, given the level of viewership for the WNBA, that's probably reasonable market value.
I mean, the 100%. That's why I brought it up with the XFL or the UFL stuff.
And I feel like with the WNBA, they're backed by the NBA. Their salaries are guaranteed. Or are they on this mega contract? No. But you also have the consistency that you could play out your legitimate career and really be able to pocket some money along the way compared to playing in one of these other leagues where you may get the money up front, but it's not a guarantee that the leagues are going to maintain over time.
Well, that's where the UFL, and the reason I tied this in, it's like, that's where I think the disappointment comes for not having bigger names or players that aren't going. They don't get their chance in the NFL. They might get their signing bonus or whatever from the draft. And then a league comes around and they're like, hey, we can give you $30,000. And it's like, buddy, I already know I'm not good enough for the NFL. I can just go be a car salesman or like do something else, you know, and say, why put your body on the line? And that's where it's kind of like, you might get a couple guys, big name guys, but I'm at the point thinking of like, that's probably naive of me to think that unless they get a big time celeb or like owner that's throwing money around, like people had hoped that The Rock would do, it doesn't seem like he's enticing people to join his league. Like, remember the original USFL? Didn't they pay Herschel Walker more than what the NFL salary was? So he's like, all right, awesome. So that's not happening anymore. And it's like, hey, do you want to make the same you'd make at Food Lion bagging groceries? You might break your leg and never walk again correctly like Alex Smith. It's like, nah, I'll just bag the groceries, my man. Or I'll be like a door dasher, you know? Like, what's the point of putting yourself on the line if it's just going to be a second gig type money? And that's kind of where I was surprised that the WNBA, for as much hype and like coverage it gets from like ESPN, it's like, no, the women are still getting their market value, which isn't much more than like a regular job. Whatever, like what's in, isn't like the average household make like 60 something thousand. So the WNBA makes slightly more than that. And I could be wrong on my numbers for the country. I don't know. But that's what I'm thinking. Like, and they're only going to play for a couple years, most likely. So it's not even life-changing money. Heck, the women could graduate and get a better paying job. Because some of those cities, like in Seattle, like that salary is not getting you anything. You're living out of your car. Like, that's not a joke. That's a real thing. Because, like, I know it's a big tech boom up there. And I know people that moved up there and they're like, yeah, we can't really afford a house. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm not surprised you can't. And that's making like more than what the women's basketball players make. But I guess it's seasonal and you're traveling. Maybe you don't really need a place. I don't know. But that's my thoughts on it. I did have one other NFL thing. Someone corrected me because I was really pro kickoff changes, right? Someone told me that now we lose the surprise onside kick. Did Dabo do it in one of the playoff games? That was the example I was given. Like, didn't he do that? Or maybe I'm misremembering, or maybe they would tell me something else, but I thought in one of the playoff games, Dabo kicked an onside kick.
You're probably right.
And so they were like, now you can't do that in the NFL. Like, you can't just come out and do an onside kick. Not like we've seen it a lot, but I also wonder if, instead of that, I wish they would do an alternative. And this is my solution, Matt. The punter, or the kicker, can run up like he's going to kick the ball. He can pick it up and throw a Hail Mary type pass that if it's incomplete, they get the ball where he kicks off from. Right? I don't know where the hell he's kicking off from, the 30? Or maybe you put it at the 50 or something. Like, you make it so that it's like, that it might be worth the try. Because like, I would assume the kicker can at least arm punt it up 30 yards, 40 yards.
Yeah.
Right? Wouldn't that be cool? It would be a surprise. People would be like, oh my God, he's actually doing it. And then he throws it, and then it like doesn't even make it to the, like, the has to pass whatever that line of scrimmage is that they're all lined up on. Or they like lined up on the 40 or something. So his pass just has to make it like an onside kick. But like, that would set up the return team and the kickoff team to always be like receivers and tight ends. Because like, you'd be like, all right. Because you imagine, like, back in the day, like, oh my gosh, there's Randy Moss on kickoff again. They're going to throw it to him? Like, that would be awesome, right? I would love it. I think I would love to see that. That would be my alternative, where you don't know, everyone's kind of lined up. The guy runs up, but instead of kicking the ball, he picks it up. Wouldn't that be like, that would get your heart pumping if that was your team, I think. Because then those guys have to run the 10-yard route while he throws the ball up. And you don't know which side he's throwing to. So like the kick returner could start running up, he'd probably be in the best position to make a play break up. But I think that's a solution that could work for everybody. Or they said that you can actually attempt a regular onside kick, but you can only do two per game or something. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that was the XFL rule. I forget who was even telling me about this, but it was a Clemson fan. Tell me about the, they're going to lose part of the surprise of an onside kick. And I'm like, who the heck is even surprised onside kicking? What are you talking about? But then made me think, like, yeah. Squib kick, you're not really going to get an onside kick. Or I guess you could squib kick it. Like that would still be, or no, they wait till the guy kicks, catches it, right? So yeah, can you not even squib kick anymore? That's my other question now. So now I'm on the fence. I'm officially moving myself to the middle. I was pro rule changes, but now there are a couple things that are trickery. I like the trickery, Matt. I like the gamesmanship.
Yes.
Of a kicker throwing the ball up in the air. And then when Sebastian Janikowski walks to the sideline, you're like, you idiot, you couldn't even throw it 30 yards? He's like, I don't throw the ball, I kick it.
80.
Or he just throws it out of bounds. Could you imagine how mad you would be? And then they get the ball at the 50 instead. That I keep Commissioner Goodell on the line. I have to use my Packer ownership. Maybe at the next owners meeting, I'll tell Jerry Jones. But I did see that the Packers voted against it, right? Old school up there. We like our onside kicks, Matt. I had one other NFL thing, too. Did you see they're starting to bring my man Harbaugh? The hate is following him to the NFL. People are accusing him of trying to fix the draft. Did you see those articles?
No.
They're saying that he's pretending that JJ is a good quarterback so that he gets drafted in the top four, giving the Chargers more value to their pick because they don't need a quarterback. So if they can trick another team into drafting JJ, then they can trade down their pick and still get a good wide receiver value or whatever value they want. And it's a win-win for them because I don't think they have any receivers on the line. So like people are, this is the hypothetical. Jim Harbaugh is so big brained out there that he's hyping JJ up knowing that he's going to be a bust. Not that he won him a national championship or anything, right? Only because he knows he's going to be a bust. He's hyping him up so that he can trade down the Chargers pick to around pick 11 and get Bowers from Georgia to be like his tight end hype guy. His new Vernon Davis. And I'm like, how much free time do these NFL guys sitting around writing up conspiracies now that they're like, JJ's no good. He stinks. No one would want him. Meanwhile, I'm looking at the other quarterbacks and I'm thinking, I don't know if I'd want any of these guys. Why not JJ? Right? I think it's all going to come back and be, people are going to think, oh, that I'm really stupid. Because JJ might be the best quarterback of the draft. He might not even be a Pro Bowl or Hall of Fame quarterback. Some draft classes just suck. Like, those are the facts. I think we're getting a little spoiled here with the NIL and having super old quarterbacks come into the league. That's my knock on Penix. If someone was drafting Penix in the top three a couple years ago, when he was eligible, I'd have been like, oh no, don't do that, dog. But now because he's older, why would that have changed my mind? Maybe he's peaked in college and he couldn't even beat Michigan, which is running an NFL defense, right? They couldn't even score the ball. So, okay, you had your chance. You look scared out there. How does that make you a top pick? Same with like Bo Nix, another one that's super old. We talked about the North Carolina guys coming out. They never work out. And then Caleb Williams, same deal as the Ohio State guys. Your team is loaded with talent, but you're not winning. How are you any better than Jalen Daniels? Right? To me, it's like it's the same crapshoot. All right, we're going to pick a guy and hope because he kind of runs around like Mahomes that he's going to be the next Mahomes. But people didn't even want Mahomes, right? He was in the 10s or teens or whatever. I don't even know where he was drafted. Was he drafted 11th, 14th? Roethlisberger is around there too. people thought he was just dumb. He went to Miami, Ohio. Because I remember even thinking, should I buy the hype? I don't even know why people are excited about Roethlisberger. And then he's one of the best Steelers of all time. So JJ could very well be that. I don't think Harbaugh hyping him up is going to do anything. So then I went down a rabbit hole, Matt, and I'm like, all right, what about the Harbaugh hate? And then I was reminded that the NFL could still suspend Harbaugh for his NCAA infractions because the end and the Big Ten was pushing that. And I was like, that's not going to happen. Didn't they forget all about that? Right? Nothing came of it. And then, of course, people were bringing up Connor Stallions. So I looked to see if they had any information on him. Like, weren't they investigating him for being on that sideline? A Central Michigan? No update. The last thing I saw was that they said that he had a bald head before, because Michigan had a team photo. So he had a bald head at the team photo, put on a hat, got a Central Michigan uniform or outfit, put on a hat and a disguise with a wig that looked like it was a professional wig job, right? Because the hair wasn't like moving in the videos I saw. Like it wasn't like flapping around looking like a crappy wig. Went to Central Michigan sideline, gave a fake name. They allowed him down there with a blank clipboard and he was on the sideline, which if that did happen, that's insane. And doesn't that prove that he was kind of just a rogue guy on his own trying to sell his business, right? Because I have a hard time believing, hey, Coach Harbaugh, I need to go up to the Central Michigan game. So I'm going to leave practice a couple minutes early. He's like, why? Well, I have the disguise thing. I'm going to, you know, go up, film the game. Well, they said he didn't film it. I think someone verified that he didn't have Ray-Bans on that guy. He just had regular sunglasses on. It was just a camera reflected on him. And I'm like, weird, though. Why'd that guy have sunglasses? Why did it not look like him? Because the guy in the photo looked heavier than what Connor Stallions did in the team photo and on the sideline the next weekend. So maybe he could have wore like 3 shirts, right, to bulk up a little bit. I don't know. But I'm just like, I'm reading all these Harbaugh articles, and I'm like, people are obsessed with that guy. Obsessed. I don't get it. I don't understand why. I haven't even thought about him that much since he left. I'm worried about Michigan's quarterback situation. Nothing to do with, hey, wonder what Harbaugh is planning. He's in so many people's heads, though, that they're just like, oh, JJ stinks. There's no way. He has to have an ulterior motive here. Has to be faking it. He can't like the guy. Plus, I did see that the Chargers signed Ben Mason. And I have a weird feeling, is Harbaugh going to turn into Steve Spurrier? Right? Didn't Spurrier go to the Redskins and then he signed all former Florida guys all the time?
Yes.
Harbaugh's already started it. He brought in Ben Mason, fullback. He was with the Chargers. He has one career NFL carry, I think I saw. But because he played for him 3 years ago, Harbaugh's like, come on over, buddy. You're a hard worker. You can be on my arm punts team. when he talks to me and I give him the idea for that new onside kickoff. That's what he's going to happen. Because people are speculating now that what if he trades down his pick and keeps getting multiple picks and then he drafts 5 Michigan guys just, not because he likes them, but just to give Michigan the record for most players drafted in a draft.
Just keep picking his own.
Just pick his own guys. Because who cares? His team sucks. So the Chargers are in such a bad situation where they had to cut a bunch of dudes. So why not just pick a bunch of his own championship winning guys to break the record? Because Harbaugh, you know, that goes on his resume. Oh, yeah, I had the most players drafted. Come sign and play free agent NFL with me. That has nothing to do with his NFL career. So why would he care about that? Is he only focused on winning? What if he drafts no Michigan guys? What will the articles be then? He knows they sucked. All busts, Matt. All 15 of them or 16, whatever it ends up being. I can't even look for NFL news without seeing a bunch of Harbaugh articles. There was one about how happy he looked. I was like, are you serious? This is now my NFL news feed. Maybe it's because of the Michigan connection and people are just like, the algorithm's like, you need to know what Harbaugh's up to. And I'm like, I really don't. But those are my updates. Do you have anything else you want to talk about?
No.
I did see that, was the quarterback, Purdy, he got his bonus, which is almost like as much as his regular salary for being the Niners' like best passing quarterback in history
last year. But they're trying to replace.
Yeah. It's like, hey, great work, buddy. Here's your bonus. Now we don't want you here. Maybe they'll draft JJ. No, they're going to draft Penix. It's like ridiculous. Because now they're talking about, what's this article here? Oh yeah, Penix, his stock's rising too. Are they talking about DeBoer? How he's just pumping guys up? No. Because he's not a coach. So now they're saying that all quarterbacks are being pumped up by Jim Harbaugh because he doesn't need a quarterback. That's the only position he doesn't need with Herbert. So get your tinfoil hat on. Let's get into other sports. I talked a little bit. I already talked about the women's basketball thing. But with Caitlin Clark coming in and getting Iowa back to the Final Four, I thought women's college basketball, you can have one player that helps your team win. How is it Iowa? How? I don't understand it. I just don't get it. Did you see her dad tell her to shut up? There was a call. He looked so pissed because she was complaining to the ref. He told her, shut up. And then she put her head down in shame. And I thought, he's still out there parenting his daughter that's getting $5 million offers. But on the other side, with women's basketball, NC State made it to the Final Four. And they weren't even ranked at the beginning of the year because all their girls had like graduated and moved on. So you can either win in women's college basketball with a good coach or just by recruiting the top players, which is what that Kim Mulkey did or whatever. I hope I'm saying her name right because she seems kind of angry and mean all the time. I don't need her coming after the show, right? Like she came after that reporter for doing a hit piece on her. The hit piece wasn't even bad. It was just that she hates some players, right? So I was like, she did that guy a favor, getting him all kind of views, getting him all pumped up. I think it was a guy that wrote the article about how people didn't like her. And it's like, she's won at Baylor and at LSU national titles last year. I'm pretty sure they beat Iowa, right? Because that was a rematch. If that article... Because once you're a coach in women's college basketball with her name, she can pretty much recruit whomever she wants. And they're going to be in the title hunt no matter what school she's at. Same with like that Gino guy or whatever from Gene or whatever from UConn. Yep. And then was it Pat Summit from Tennessee? It's her son mucked things up for her. Dating players or whatever he was doing. And then he got his own coaching job and then got fired. It's like... Now, that's what I'm wondering, like, with women's college basketball, because they're talking about bringing other sports in, Michigan possibly getting women's hockey. I don't know if I brought that up. And it's like, all right. And everyone's saying, well, now they need a men's team to even out Title IX. But I thought, that's not what Title IX is, right? I thought Title IX meant that you have to have at least equal or more women's scholarships. Not, it has to be the exact same amount, but maybe I'm wrong. Because I thought Title IX was more in women's favor. So you could have a school that was mostly women's sports. But normally with a football team, that offsets it. And it made me think, what if the Big Ten's worried about getting more football scholarships? What better way to do it than by bringing in a women's hockey that's going to have however many? And they're like, oh, what do we know? 20 more football scholarships right here. It's like, oh, what a surprise. And then all the Big Ten teams are adding women's hockey. It's like, oh, sorry, guys. Sorry, fellers. That's what made me laugh because, like, the women's basketball tournament, everyone's like, oh, man, no one watches it. And I'm like, it's on the same time as the men's. They couldn't stagger it like the UFL. And now you're at the ending point where they do get viewership because it's on weird days. Like, that Iowa game was yesterday on a Monday night. And that's when I was thinking, oh man, I wish the UFL was on right now. Monday night game. Why not? Right?
And that Iowa LSU matchup, that was like probably the Super Bowl of the women's bracket.
I know, because the South Carolina looks so good. Because like, if you have all the top recruits in women's basketball, there's not that many. Because like, let's be real, basketball, you need to be tall. And like, look at the Purdue and UConn. They had, both have a guy that's over 7 foot, whatever. That UConn guy blocked like 5 shots in a row. And Illinois couldn't score for 30, like, it was a 30-point run. He blocked like 5 to 8 shots during that run. Insane. Illinois could have just gave up. They could have just been like, that's a Gets game. Let's go home, guys. Like, we're done here. We'll take our Elite Eight. We'll go home. Sorry, UConn. Because everyone keeps telling me down here, they're like, oh, you think NC State got a shot? I'm like, no. They have a guy called Baby Shaq that's just small and big. Those other guys are going to tower over them. I hope they beat Purdue. I don't want Purdue to win, but I think in the men's bracket, we're going to see a battle of the giants. I think we're going to see UConn and we're going to see Purdue because they have two giant guys. And that Edie guy from Purdue, at his post-game press conference, really had me impressed because he was pissed off and he called out Tennessee's coach for not recruiting him. And some of those coaches, I was reading like clips that he had said where previously coaches called him and like they gave him comments like not athletic, big and awkward, and things like that. And he took names, dude. He looks pissed. He was like, no, because he was saying about how the team was good. He's like, no, I'm bringing my name up. I know that everyone was talking trash to me before and I'm focused on winning to show that I'm a good player. And I was like, Purdue might win the national championship. As much as I don't want to see it, them and UConn are probably going to be a good matchup. Which I think the game would be like, what, next Monday? Or maybe it is next Tuesday during the show.
Yeah.
So we'll have to keep an eye out and see. I don't remember. I think the women's is on Sunday. I think the men's is on Monday night next week. So we should have the winner by the time we go in. But that's my analysis watching most of the basketball games. NC State's run is awesome. But it's kind of just like women's, like, oh yeah, NC State gets to play South Carolina now in women's. Oh, South Carolina's women are all gigantic and like the top recruits and they're undefeated. They're like the old UConn teams. Like, oh, all 5 of them are going to be drafted in the WNBA? Okay. Well, maybe coaching can maybe win. But if you're filling out a women's bracket and you're not picking the top team to win at all, like, I don't know what you're doing. Maybe you take Caitlin Clark and hope that she can hit 40 points again. Like she did against LSU. But we saw last year in the championship game, she got in foul trouble. I thought it was BS. Whatever. Comes back and they lose. Now, this year, maybe her star power of having another great year, coming back to Iowa, gets them a national championship. It would be weird if the Big Ten won those 3 championships, if they won the football, basketball and women's basketball, because I don't think they've won in any of them in a long time. Football was the most recent with Ohio State in 2014. I don't know if any women's team from the Big Ten has ever won. It's usually the same 3 teams, right? I don't know how South Carolina got good. Hired a coach. That's what it is. Get a coach that can recruit and then you're good for like 20 years.
Yeah.
That's what Baylor had it. Let her go to LSU. Now, they'll be good. Hit pieces aren't going to stop Mulkey. She's too good of a coach. Her peacock dresses or whatever she usually dresses like. Outrageous. And then for men's basketball, Michigan's been close. Wisconsin was there. I think that was it. I don't know if any other Big Ten teams were in the championship game before. Recently, anyway. I know Michigan State was back in like 2007 or something against North Carolina. Now we have Purdue, which that would be... That would be the most fairy tale ending down here. NC State's the last ACC team standing. They beat Purdue in a miracle win because Purdue's full of heartbreak, right? And then NC State loses by 40 in the championship game. Would that be worth celebrating, Matt?
For NC State, yeah.
Because they're 11 seed, right? They have the most losses by any team in the Final Four ever.
So it's almost like by winning the ACC tournament, it was like they earned their spot that everyone would have said, oh, they don't deserve to be in there under normal circumstances.
Oh, yeah. Coach would have been fired. Like, what a difference 2 weeks make, right? The funny thing is, the one radio guy down here, he's retiring. So he's had his last day on the job 8 times. They did a montage of him walking in the office. He looks like all depressed because he's pretty sure NC State's going to lose. And now he's like, eh. Like, each time he gets happier and happier. Because, like, the ACC tournament, he's just, like, bummed. Like, eh, we're going to lose this week. Oh, we're going to lose. The first couple are hilarious because he's probably like, well, at least I go out at the bottom. And now he's like, I don't care. I hope I keep coming in. Keep winning. It's, like, almost insane. But that's where... I told you about football tournament. The football tournament could be the same thing. You don't know if a Boise State team is going to get on a run and make the Final Four. That's where I think NC State gets a regional championship. They get the banner. That's a great recruiting tool. And the reason I ask is because, so in hockey, Michigan State won the regular season Big Ten. They won the Big Ten tournament. For whatever reason, I hate the NCAA hockey committee. They put Michigan and Michigan State in the same bracket. So there was a rematch again. They had just met in the Big Ten tournament. Michigan beats Michigan State this week to go to the Frozen Four. Now you get the debate. Would you have rather have had Michigan State season where you get the conference banners? Or would the Final Four banner be better? Because for recruiting, that's Michigan's third Final Four in a row with a semi-new coach. I think that's better to me than a conference championship if I'm a recruit. Been like, I can play in the NCAA tournament or the NCAA hockey tournament. I'm in the Final Four every year. Sign me up. Right? I think same with basketball. Was it the opposite would have been Tennessee wins the SEC. They get eliminated by Purdue, I think. And then Alabama, on the other hand, they're in the Final Four. Which season is better for you? Do you think going to the Final Four? Because we don't know if they're going to win anymore. They could lose this next round, both of them. Or do you think, if you're a recruit, what's better? Conference championship or the Final Four?
I would say the conference championship just because I feel like within that conference championship, there's stable footing there. And within that of recognizing anything can happen once you hit the tournament. If you can show consistently, you can compete for the conference championship. I think eventually it lends itself to those deeper playoff runs and an opportunity to win the playoff championship. But if you can't win your own conference, I mean, you look at like a Vanderbilt. They're not winning the SEC. They're not competing for anything nationally. You know, look at your Rutgers or Northwestern. They're not competing for the Big Ten championship. There's no chance of them making a playoff.
But see, to play devil's advocate for like how many years has Painter been at Purdue? This is his first Final Four. He's had a bunch of Big Ten championships because they don't really matter. Because like the Big Ten has an unbalanced schedule, and I don't think hockey has unbalanced. I don't really know. But on the basketball side of things, it's unbalanced. It's so big now. They're winning the regular season. The 1 year, there was like 5 regular season champs. They were all tied. Or like the one COVID year, Michigan beat Illinois by half a game. Remember? So it's like, does that really matter? Maybe the tournament, because like down here, you brought up NC State winning the ACC tournament. People don't really consider the regular season tournament or the regular season championship a real champion. Everyone down here considers NC State the ACC champ. Did they win the regular season? Hell no. They had to play five games in that ACC tournament. But I think it's a different mindset where, okay, the regular season was kind of just a warm-up, great for rivalry talk, but do you want the tournament banner? Where I've noticed in the Big Ten, on the other hand, everyone's always saying, oh, the regular season title is better than just like the Big Ten tournament because it's newer, kind of. And maybe that's where the ACC tournament's been around since like the 70s. Maybe that's kind of like if you win the ACC tournament, you have a good chance of winning the national championship. And the Big Ten's like, no, we'll focus on the regular season. I think that's where you kind of see the difference. And like NC State's making a great run. If they win the national championship, I would not be surprised in the least. Because they've been focused on winning the championship. That was like, they have to win it. They have to win it. Our coach is fired and those guys are going to have to transfer. Like, that was probably the speech he gave. Like, I'm going to be fired, guys. Because that happened to that other coach. He was fired. And then they won their conference tournament. And then he said, I'm not even supposed to be at the NCAA tournament. I'm fired. He said he was like George Costanza out there. Can't even leave his job. He's just showing up. So that's where I think Michigan State fans are kind of bitter that they didn't make the Frozen Four. I think that Purdue fans are starting to see that all those Final Fours by like Michigan in the meantime, while they were winning the Big Ten championship, didn't really matter. And that's kind of where I think as a recruit with like NIL, we might see a little bit of a shift where Calipari at Kentucky, I'm surprised he wasn't fired. How can you be a top five recruiting coach and you're losing in the first round to talent teams that don't even have anywhere near as talent as what you have? Your talent should get you a Sweet 16 lock no matter what. Same with it's almost like the Steelers at a point where Steelers make the playoffs, they get eliminated, or they don't even make the playoffs, they're at 500. People are like, yeah, 500, awesome. We didn't have a losing record, right, guys? And everyone's like shaking their head, yeah. Not like those Pirates. They had that March championship, but that's it. Maybe April championship, we'll see if they can pull that one off. That's more rare. I think they had it a couple years ago. I don't know if they can get both this year. But watching the tournament, the excitement of having an NC State compared to like a Loyola Marymount or whatever that one year, or UMBC, I think that's who made it the one time. They can actually win the championship because they have the talent to compete in the ACC, where those other teams didn't have the talent. So we'll see what happens. I think that's everything I had. I was kind of random today. You have anything else you wanted to talk about? I know we might be a little bit early.
No, I think that's a pretty good spot to leave out.
I will say it's going to be crazy for me in terms of luck. If I win fantasy football, Michigan wins the national championship in football, then NC State wins the basketball national championship, and Michigan hockey wins the national championship. At that point, you have to almost bet on the Braves, right? Because it has to happen. The Braves have to win the World Series at that point. All my teams are going to win this year, and then I have to start wondering, like, did someone pay a gypsy? Like, for it to happen? They're like, this guy needs luck on his side. Because normally NC State would have lost in heartbreaking fashion. Like, I know people that weren't even watching the game because they assumed Duke would win. And now, they're doing some crazy stuff, getting ready to go on to a Final Four chance against Purdue, who are also known chokers. Like, that's a great matchup for them. Two schools that shouldn't be there. Purdue has all the pressure in the world on them. NC State has no pressure. No pressure at all. That's the same with like Michigan and Michigan State. When I saw Michigan State in the bracket, I knew Michigan had a losing record against them this year. I thought, we're going to the Frozen Four again. All the pressure's on Michigan State. There's no way they're going to come out on fire and Michigan beats them 5-2. Now they play Boston College, the overall number one. If they get through that, who knows? So that's my thing. Watch some college women's basketball too, because instead of having, well, I still think South Carolina is going to win it all. If you're betting, I don't think NC State's going to beat them. I think you'll see an extreme size disadvantage, and same with Iowa. If Iowa plays them, you're going to be like, oh my gosh, this is like high school versus the JV. And you just hope that Caitlin Clark puts 50 in, and they don't lose to who? I don't even know who Iowa's playing. Does it end up being? I don't even know what that game ended up. It was a late game. I didn't care to watch it because, like, I think with women's basketball, if you're not a star power, then you don't have anything. But did you see one last thing I forgot? Did you see for that NC State women's basketball game that they drew the 3-point line wrong?
Yes.
And I thought that would only happen to NC State, where whatever wrong in the karma, in the world of karma, anything bad that can happen is going to happen to NC State. Like the fact that they were like, hey, that's wrong. And they were like, no. And then finally, by the championship game on that side, they were like, all right, you caught us. It is wrong. And then they were like, do you want to fix it? And they're like, nah, just play. We already played 3 other games here, you idiots. And it was 9 inches, Matt. 9 inches. That's like almost a foot off. Right? You would know. I feel like a person would know. But Iowa plays UConn, which again, UConn just stare on star power. So that could be a good game. I wonder what the ratings will be. We'll have to talk about it next week. But thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.